This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Full Coverage, a podcast for beauty lovers by beauty lovers. I am your host, best-selling author. It's weird, still weird saying that, and it's been like a minute. Best-selling author and beauty enthusiast, Lindsay Kelk. I am so happy to be here talking to you about beauty today. Anyone who has never listened to this before and randomly this podcast just popped up, probably just turned off. I promise I won't sing again. But I did have to pop in and say hello because I have been on such a big beauty kick lately. You know how things come and go, and sometimes you are so invested in something and then you're not for a long, long time, and it's hard to muster up the enthusiasm. I'm not saying it's hard to muster up the enthusiasm to talk to you. It's always a delight to talk to my beauty pals, but I've been so busy. As you all know, Harry has been incredibly busy for some time, but I've also been really busy lately. Things I'll be able to talk to you about a little bit more at the end of the episode, some things I'm not able to talk to you about yet, but surely will very soon. That beauty just ended up being the thing that we had to knock on the head for a while, and even though every couple of weeks sort of the conversation pops up in my head saying, I should record some episodes of Full Coverage. I really miss talking about it. There just hasn't been time. So what I'm doing today, quite frankly, between you and I, a meeting got cancelled. So I made the time. I could have been using this time to lay in the garden with a book and a cat, but I chose to come here and talk to you about beauty instead. Now, my plan is for three new episodes, a minimum of three new episodes, to run this summer over the next couple of weeks. This episode is going to be all about products that have stood the test of time in my routine. Next episode will be about new products that I'm really impressed with. And the third episode, can you even believe it, will be about what I'm taking on tour. It's tour time. It's book tour time, people. So the third episode will be all about tour. That's always one of my favorite episodes to record every year. And I'm getting better at sticking to what I tell you. So it's more an episode about holding myself accountable than anything else. Feel free not to listen to it. It's mostly for me, but I do appreciate it. And I know sometimes when some of you come to the book tours, we get to chat about those things. So that's always nice. But today's episode is all about products that I have realized have been in my routine or in my makeup bag, in my bathroom cabinet for time. Possibly repurchased, something I've gone away from and come back to. And this to me is one of the more interesting sides of beauty at the moment because, you know, for a while there were so many new launches and there was no way to stay on top of it all. And it truly got exhausting. It truly got to the point where I just could not open Instagram and see one more eyeshadow palette, one more concealer. Everyone's doing a liquid blush or a cream blush this season. Like, there are thousands of them. I open Sephora, I open all my emails and I get the press releases. And it's like, oh, the Makeup by Mario new cream blush, that looks interesting. Like, oh, NARS are doing a new blush, that's interesting. And it never stops. You cannot stay on top of it. You cannot possibly try them all. And I don't want to anymore. I think there's been a big pushback in my brain against consumerism and the idea of hoarding. I've done a lot of beauty clear outs lately. My makeup collection has got to be like a third of what it once was. I'm really trying not to just hold onto things that I do not use and that don't add value to being in my possession. And that's not easy as a hoarder, as a childhood collector. That is really not easy. So that's really what I wanted to focus on today, is the stuff that I have just been using for a very long time. And I thought I would start in the shower, not literally, although I did just shower, so I am clean, just so you know, and look at what products I keep coming back to, because I am not loyal in the slightest when it comes to shower stuff. I will sniff a shower gel in Target and buy it. I don't really care to come back to things. It's not somewhere where I want to spend a lot of money in the shower. But there are certain things I realize that I've been buying over and over, more so in the hair care region. But shower gel, I will say, and I've gone through 3 bottles of this, and one of them I bought myself, and then the other two, Joe's, there's some parrots going by outside if you want to enjoy that. Coming to you live from LA, a bunch of parrots just flew past. I bought one bottle myself because I was just, I was influenced and I was curious about the brand. And then I got 2 bottles for Christmas, which was exciting and a throwback to getting smellies. And I'm nearly out of the 3rd bottle, and I'm really on the fence about whether or not I'm going to buy another one or wait for some kind of summer sale or wait for my birthday. I haven't decided, but it's the Necessaire eucalyptus shower gel. I am obsessed with this stuff. Like, it's so spa, it's untrue. Like, the second I squirt it onto my shower puff, I feel like I'm in the spa, and it just gives me such a sense of joy. And let's be real, joy can be lacking in this modern world, so get it where you can, get it when you can find it. And just, it's such a simple thing, having a shower gel that uplifts your mood. I haven't got any at the moment, but honestly, if I had access to it, and I don't in the US, which is heartbreaking, the other shower gel that I always buy, and I will be buying by the bucket load when I come back to England on the book tour, is the Radox green shower gel. I know every time I mention Radox to anyone, because I love the bubble bath too, the green bubble bath and the green shower gel, they are just such nostalgia scents to me. They make me so happy. And people will say, oh my God, they're so drying, they're so disgusting, how can you use them? I'm like, my answer is with pleasure, with absolute pleasure. I love those smells. And the Radox is a lot cheaper than the Necessaire, which is not Necessaire at all, really. It's just a fancy shower gel. But I think it's really important to put those little bursts of joy in your life wherever you can. So Necessaire shower gel and the Radox shower gel and bubble bath are definitely things that have lasted a long time with me. The other thing that keeps coming back, which I'm not surprised at all, is the Overtone pink conditioner. My hair still has a pink tint. For anyone listening who doesn't know, my hair is bleached to within an inch of its life. We bleach it all the way up to white. And then my amazing colorist, Emily Blair, who actually is someone else I've been keeping for a while. I've been working with Emily for 2 years now, more than 2 years. Emily's incredible. She's a colorist in LA. EmilyBlairHair.com. Go check her out. Or on Instagram, Blair Hair Project. Emily's incredible, and she gives me the most beautiful pink tint, which then fades off to this really gorgeous milkshakey blonde with a little hint of pink in it. And the way I keep that up mostly is to use Overtone. But my trick, because I don't really love their pastel pink everyday conditioner, it doesn't really do anything. So my trick has been to buy the Vibrant. I think they do 3 levels of pastel, vibrant, and extreme. And I buy the middle level pink, and I dilute it into a conditioner that I really like and use it that way. And the conditioner that I really like, that again, I think I'm on my 3rd bottle of this now, and Jeff uses it too, is the Ordinary conditioner. It is so cheap, it's so inexpensive, it's fantastic. I know I do understand it. It's not witchcraft. I talked to the man that formulated it and he explained it all, but I don't get it because science is hard. But whatever it is, it's doing it. It's giving science, it's giving witchcraft. The conditioner is conditioning, and I absolutely love it. And if you haven't tried it, I urge you to. I know so many people have. So many people messaged me to say they'd given it a go and that they loved it. And yeah, that Ordinary conditioner, do not miss the boat on that. If they discontinue it, I will weep. I will cry, because it is one of the most inexpensive things in my bathroom as someone with bleached hair. The other things that I use routinely and have rebought and don't really want to talk about because they're so expensive is Olaplex and K18. But I use both of those things as well to maintain my bleached hair. But that Ordinary conditioner, what a bad boy. I just would not want to be without it. K18 in particular has been amazing. And I think when I first started talking about that, when we first mentioned it on the podcast, it was very, very new. My salon gave it to me to try, and it is remarkable. If you have damaged hair at all, it is genuinely remarkable. And I can't recommend it enough, but it is not an inexpensive product. So it is a considered buy. Obviously, if you're doing something like bleaching your hair, that's an expensive thing to do anyway, because the upkeep is a lot. So it's something to factor into that. But I don't think my hair would be in anywhere near as good a condition without Olaplex and without K18. You don't use them both at the same time. K18 I use sort of right after I've had it bleached as a rescue remedy, and then Olaplex is something I use more frequently as a sort of weekly G up, if you will. Like, come on hair, sort yourself out. But yeah, that's what I'm definitely reusing in the shower. For skincare, I don't think anyone will be shocked to know that I am on my umpteenth. I genuinely can't tell you, because it's been more than 10 years that I've been using this, or 10 years, however long it is since it came out, because I still remember the PR giving me a jar of it before it had come out and saying, try this if your skin is irritated, you'll love this. And it is the Elemis cleansing balm. The Elemis cleansing balm. We all know I'm the world's biggest fan. I stock up anytime there's a sale. I love buying the holiday sets that they put out, the seasonal sets with the different scents in there. Really come around to the neroli version that they did, and I don't know if you can still get it. Was never a big fan of the rose. But I'm not really a big rose gal. But it's the original for me. It's the original that just feels like that luxury spa cleansing experience. Nothing takes my makeup off like the Elemis cleansing balm. Nothing leaves my skin as soft and as happy. Takes out my eye makeup, takes off everything, and it makes me so, so happy. I absolutely adore that as a first cleanse. Second cleanse, maybe we'll talk about on the next episode. I've been trying some new stuff. I've been pretty pleased with it, although I do still have the Elemis cleansing gel also, which I frequently use as a second cleanse or a first cleanse in the morning. But yeah, of all the Elemis products I've used for a million years, and I really have been using Elemis for a very long time, ever since I started doing beauty blogs, beauty journalism back in 2007. Oh God. That's the one that I still use all the time. Like, I come and go with Collagen Marine Cream. I come and go with the Dynamic Resurfacing Pads, although they are fantastic. They're just not an inexpensive option, and I think there are cheaper things that are probably almost as good, maybe not as good. They are still top tier to me. But of all the Elemis things that come and go in my routine, the cleansing balm is always there. It's a non-negotiable. And I've tried every other one. I've tried so many other cleansing balms, and I just always come back to it. Something else I have come back to, and this is recent. I came back to this about 6 months ago. I came back to it when I was in the UK last year. So actually it was November. It's a million years ago, isn't it? And this is something I used to use years ago and haven't thought about it in, gosh, maybe a decade. And I got a little travel size of it while I was in the UK, and I was just shocked at how much I loved it. And it went straight back into my routine, and it's been there ever since. And that is the Estee Lauder Advanced Night Repair Eye Supercharged Gel Cream. Now, Advanced Night Repair is like the Mac Daddy Daddy Mac of serums, isn't it, right? So it's been around forever. I feel like when it launched, none of us really knew what it was, but we were like, sure, go off, Estee Lauder, chuck it in. A little brown bottle, put it on at night, fantastic. Under moisturizer, gotcha. It's actually an incredible all-round supercharged hydrating serum that you can use day or night. The name, I don't think, has helped it. Because it's under your moisturizer, so like, it's not going to hurt you to use it in the daytime. I've known people who have been like, well, can you even use it in the daytime? I'm like, yeah, what do you think it's going to do? But I love Advanced Night Repair. Again, that's something I come and go with. Like, if I have it, I'm like, oh yeah. Or if I'll see it in duty free on a deal and be like, oh my God, yeah, I should get that. And my skin loves it every time, but I just forget about it because I don't know, Estee Lauder keep forgetting to make it sexy and to remind us that it exists. But the Advanced Night Repair Eye Supercharged Gel Cream, I'm obsessed with, and I use this day and night. It is fantastic for under makeup. So daytime is actually a brilliant time to use it because it is just lightweight, it absorbs really quickly. I find it very plumping, very hydrating. It's not heavy, it doesn't clog, it doesn't cause puffiness. You can put it in the fridge in summer and apply it straight out of the fridge, and it's so cooling and wonderful. The texture is gorgeous. One of the things, and I will always love it for this, but one of the things that I always think about every time I pick it up is when my mum was poorly, when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, she was going through treatment and her skin was so irritated, and she'd always had irritated skin. She always had eczema. She always was really very dry and she could use next to nothing without it just really causing her problems. But her skin was so sore and she was so frustrated. And I gave her some of this gel cream, the Advanced Night Repair eye cream, to just see if it would help at all. And she loved it so much, she started using it all over her face. It made her so happy and her skin just really loved it and it just really accepted it straight away. And I had to sort of sit down and be like, Janice, not for the face, not for all over the face, just for under the eyes. And her response was, screw you, I am going through treatment, I want it all over my face. And I said, let me go and buy you another 10 jars, because she was quite right, whatever gets you through that difficult time. And she loved this, and we went through loads of it. And that has always sort of been in the back of my mind whenever my skin is irritated or stressed out. I think, oh, this is going to be the thing that's going to help me out, because I do get dryness under my eyes. Los Angeles, where I live, is very dry. It's a desert climate, there's no humidity. I wear contact lenses, I suffer with hay fever and allergies, so my eyes are frequently dry, and that then the skin gets dry around them because I'm rubbing my eyes or putting in eye drops. So keeping that area hydrated is very important to me, and this has been in my bathroom since November. I think I'm on my second jar. I think I just opened my second jar and I use it twice a day. So you use a tiny amount, it really is worth it. It really is fantastic and I love it. Another product that I told you about, I think the last time we chatted, was the Revela Brow Serum. And now I second what I said that time. I never thought I would be someone sat here saying to you, buy a brow serum, because they don't work. They're absolute nonsense. You have to stick with them forever. And I've never met one that does anything in my entire life until this one. It's exceptional. I don't know how it's working. I'm on my fourth tube. It is amazing. My brows have never been thicker, fuller, and healthier. I've talked about this on this podcast a trillion times before, but I suffer with anxiety. And one of the way my anxiety manifests is very mild. And I don't like to say OCD because it's not a debilitating situation for me, but it is, I obsessively rub out my eyebrows, and that's a thing. Some people pull out their hair, some people pull out eyelashes. I rub my eyebrows until they come out, and they get really sore, and it's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous, it's mental health. Mental health is not ridiculous. If you're doing something like that, you're suffering with anxiety or there is an underlying problem, and please speak to a healthcare professional because they can help you. It's not normal. You shouldn't have to ever be in discomfort or so anxious that you're doing something to yourself. PSA over. But I've never really found anything that worked to help grow my eyebrows back until this Revela serum. It's R-E-V-E-L-A and it is utterly fantastic. I don't know, they I went to a discussion about it. I went to a presentation and the AI is involved, and you know, we're down on AI in general, apart from in this case. And it's that's how they model their formula. They put everything into a program that they've designed themselves, and they work out exactly which molecules, which ingredients, what is going to target the regrowth of a dormant hair cell the best. And I can't argue with them because this one has worked. My eyebrows are really thick, they're really full, the hairs grow longer, they stay longer, the cycle is longer, so they look thicker and fuller for longer. And I'm just obsessed with it. So someone asked me the other day what I've done to my eyebrows. They're like, oh, have you had them microbladed? I'm like, well, no, madam, I have not. These are my natural eyebrows with just a little tidying from something else that I use all the time that I probably ought to wait till makeup. But the Hourglass Micro Arch Pencil. But yeah, I can't recommend it enough. And again, not super inexpensive. It's about $90 a tube, but a tube will last you 2 to 3 months, I want to say. When I was first using it, I was whacking it on all the time. Now that my eyebrows are back thicker and fuller and I'm managing to keep my hands off them, I'm working really hard at keeping my hands to myself. I use it less frequently, so every couple of days maybe, just to keep it sort of ticking over. But it's fantastic and I love it. Let's take a quick break Very quick. So quick. So quick you'll barely notice it, because sometimes they actually don't put an ad in. You just hear the ad sound and then they don't play one. So we'll take a quick break and I'll be right back and we'll get into the makeup bag.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Full Coverage. I am your host, Lindsay Kelk, in case you've forgotten in the last 4 seconds when you hit the fast forward button. I know you did, because I do it too. It's totally fine. So one of the things I think when I think about makeup these days and I look at all the new things coming out, I think, wow, that looks great, but I'm buying it because someone has said it is brilliant the first time they used it, or I watched someone use it on TikTok and it looked incredible on them, but I don't know what it looked like at the end of the day, or I don't know how they still feel about it a week later, a month later, or, you know, I saw it on Trend Mood and got and that immediate dopamine hit of like, must have this. But what I really, really want to know, I'm 42, I'm not a kid, like I'm thinking about where I'm spending my money. Time moves so fast for me these days. I think when I was 20 and I didn't, you know, time lasted forever. Can you remember how long summer used to be when you were like 16 and how long a school year felt or a uni term felt? Buying something back then, buying makeup back then, it was like, well, I'm going to have this lipstick forever. But forever was 6 months. And 6 months really, really felt like forever. Welcome to the I Am Old Hour with Lindsay Kelk. Anyway, what I'm getting at now is if I buy something in January, it's August by the time I've blinked. And I don't want to have stopped using it already. You know, I really want to know that I'm going to use this thing all the way down at this point, or at least use it frequently. Or know that it's going to do the thing that it says it's going to do. Because, let's be honest, a lot of them don't. A lot of makeup, especially the stuff you see on TikTok or the stuff that's super trendy for 5 seconds, it looks amazing when you put it on, but it doesn't last. Or it's designed to be editorial, or I see these looks that look awesome on someone and I can't possibly achieve that with my limited skill. Or that it's just not going to wear over the course of the day. Like, I got really back into colourful eyeshadow lately and wanting to do these gorgeous looks. I was super inspired by all of the looks at the Met Gala this year. I thought they all looked amazing. And I did this sort of bright blue eye, modelled on the Emma Chamberlain look that she did, because I loved it. It was absolutely gorgeous. Very, very bright, vibrant blue with black eyeliner. It looked stunning. I did it at home, spent ages doing it, perfecting it. Was so pleased with the results. And then by the end of the day, I just looked like I'd been punched in both eyes, fully like 100% just blue and black. I mean, it looked cool, but did I want to leave the house in it? Absolutely not. So I really want to know stuff that's going to work, and I really want to trust the things that I'm spending my hard-earned money on, because that's another thing, you know, like makeup isn't cheap. And yes, I get sent some stuff, still get sent some stuff, which is lovely. But you can, if you're dead fancy, request the things that you want. But I am not that person, and I would not be that person. I think even when I was sort of, you know, doing a lot of beauty journalism and had a lot of friends in PR and knew a lot of people, and I could say, hey, can you send me this? I very rarely would, because I was very uncomfortable asking for things, because I grew up working class in South Yorkshire and I don't like asking for things. So if I love something, I'm going to go and buy it. I'm going to put my own money where my mouth is and purchase it. So with that in mind, looking at the things that have stayed in my makeup bag for multiple years, that I've rebought, that I just really love, it's pretty limited. It's not as many things as I would have anticipated. I went through and had a look at everything I've been using lately and looked at everything that's a rebuy. And let's start from the beginning. So starting with primers, the biggie, and I think we started talking about this like right at the beginning of Full Coverage, Harry mentioned this way back when, was the Bobbi Brown Vitamin Enriched Face Base. And if you are looking for a primer to moisturize and hydrate and have a little bit of grip to it, I don't think it's been bettered. I genuinely don't think it's been bettered. Do I still miss the Lube primer? That's a throwback to episode one. Yes, absolutely. I really, really miss the J1 jelly primer of old. But there are so many of those gel primers out now. There's the Hydro Grip from Milk. There's a bunch of different ones from Elf. We're going to talk about Elf a lot in the next episode because they are killing it. But my skin is not dry, but it's dehydrated. So I'm always looking to put in that sort of very base moisturizer before I apply a foundation. So that's definitely something that I keep around. I always use it before events. If I'm doing a book tour, if I've got to be on camera, I always use Bobbi Brown Vitamin Enriched Face Base because I just don't ever think it's been bettered and I love it. And a newer addition, but I did talk about this before, I think, and it's just worth mentioning it while we're talking about it, is the Eye Base, which similarly, if I'm doing an event, I will give it a go. It's very rich. If you've got greasy skin at all, or you're doing if you're doing like a lot of mascara or eyeliner under the eye, I would be wary of using it because it could make it run a little bit. But if you've got dry under eyes, it's incredible. So Vitamin Enriched Eye Base, Vitamin Enriched Face Base, bangers, Bobbi Brown, bangers. Moving on to foundation and concealer. Now, this is somewhere where I flit around a lot, but I keep finding myself back at the same place. And I've rebought all of these recently. They were big rebuys that I purchased during this year's Sephora sale because I knew that I wanted them. I re-upped my Armani Luminous Silk, which I hadn't bought in a while. And I was just so happy to have it back. And I use it all the time. It's a classic for a reason. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's so glowy. It's so pretty. It's buildable. You can powder it down to a more velvety matte finish. You can leave it to glow all on its own. It's stunning. It's stunning. And it's a classic for a reason. So definitely Armani Luminous Silk. And then the two others that I have all the time, that I reach for all the time. And I mean, honestly, oh God, I've got thousands of foundations, but I'm like, do I want to talk about Charlotte Tilbury Light Wonder? I'm like, and I do and I don't, because I will reach for that, use it a couple of times, and then not touch it again for months. Maybe it's too glowy for me. I have a tendency to get oily in my T-zone, even though I'm dehydrated, I'm not super dry, I'm sort of combination. So I'll come and go with Light Wonder. It's a nice everyday foundation, but then I think it's too expensive for an everyday foundation, and that there are more affordable drugstore options that do the same thing these days. No offense, Charlotte Tilbury Light Wonder, if it's in your budget, great everyday foundation. But the two that I come back to over and over, and that these will be the two foundations that I bring with me on tour, it's the Dior Forever Glow and Dior Forever Matte. They have reformulated them. They are not the same. I am devastated. I really think the original formulations were better. I'm a little bit heartbroken that they changed them, but they're still fantastic foundations. The shade range is pretty great. I wear zero neutral, but it is a 00N now, which is fantastic because way back when Dior did not do a shade pale enough for me at all, and I know that their darker skin range was sadly lacking. And I know there's been so much upheaval lately with brands discontinuing shade ranges for darker skins. Lancome, I'm looking at you. Especially, that just seems so messed up at a time when brands are trying so much harder, like right at the bottom at drugstore all the way up. I mean, even Hourglass, and Hourglass had the worst reputation for so long, and even Hourglass now has realized that they need to cater to darker skin tones, thank God, and that's well overdue. But how Lancome can be just discontinuing shades is beyond me. Anyway, back to a product that I love, and that is the Dior Matte and Glow Foundations. Harry is the monster that told me the best thing to do was to mix the two. So if I'm doing something every day, I will do one pump of each and apply it either with a flat top brush or a beauty blender or my fingers. You really can't go wrong with it. It's such a beautiful formulation. Melts into skin, lasts lasts beautifully. If I'm doing the glow, which would be more of an everyday, I'll probably powder the T-zone just to take it down a little bit. If I'm doing the matte, that's usually for more of a nighttime look for me, or if I need it to last longer, or if I'm doing an event. And then, you know, I don't need to powder that to get a beautiful finish, but I will powder it if I want it to last longer, if I just want it to set. And likewise, the corresponding concealers to those products, I have rebought multiple times. The Armani Luminous Silk Concealer, I think, is slept on. I think it doesn't get as much love as it deserves. It's an absolutely gorgeous real skin concealer. It is amazing for under eyes. It brightens, it color corrects, it's stunning. I really like it to brighten up the skin, sort of chin, T-zone, all of that. I will quite often just use that on its own. If I'm just having a lazy day and I don't want to do a full face, but I just want to brighten and color correct, love the Armani Luminous Silk Concealer. The Dior Forever Skin Concealer is next level. It's fantastic. You could very easily, if I'm traveling and I'm going away for a weekend or just for a few days, I can just take that. I won't even take a foundation with me. I will just take the concealer. You can mix it into your moisturizer or just sheer it out for a very light everyday look, or you can use it a little bit, build it up a bit more for a more thorough look. And it never looks too cakey. It never looks too much. I just think it is an exceptional concealer. My issue with the Dior Forever Skin Concealer is the bloody packaging, which is just a mess. If anyone can tell me how to have that tube in my life without just foundation all over, foundation concealer leaking all out of it, and I have to take it out and clean it out like once a week, if I'm using it a lot, once a week, once a month, and you lose so much product, and that is the one thing that makes me mad about it and that keeps me looking for other concealers. Honestly, sort it out, Dior. It is disgraceful. It is such a waste. It makes me so mad. The other concealer that I have with me all the time, and this is my number one pick for concealing blemishes or discoloration or something that I really want to cover up, and that is the NARS Soft Matte. And again, it's been out, feels like it's been out forever now, and I don't know another pot concealer that is as good. Pot concealers were really hot for like a minute, and then most people don't do them anymore. You don't see as many pot cream concealers. So NARS continues to kill the game. They're winning. They're winning, aren't they? Because they're the best ones doing it. Again, I believe e.l.f. is doing one. That will be something to look at in the next episode to chat about. Maybe we need to do a full e.l.f. episode. Message me on Instagram at Lindsay Kelk or Twitter at Lindsay Kelk if you want to see a full e.l.f. review episode, because truly, just smashing it. Smashing it. On to blush. Now, there is really only one blush that I have been loyal to for a bazillion years and remain loyal to forever and ever. And if they discontinue it, I don't know what I'll do, but I do, because I've got four, I think, backed up that I've bought on different sales just to make sure I always have it. And that is the Hourglass Ambient Light Blush. I can't live without it. I don't want to live without it. It is beautiful. It is my perfect blush shade. The finish is gorgeous. It lasts because it's a powder, but it's not a drying powder at all. It is luminous. It is lighting. It gives real skin. It gives a flush. It makes the light bounce so beautifully off your face. And I have a real love-hate relationship with the ambient powders from Hourglass, because the blushes I just always, always, always love. And every time I brush the blush onto my cheeks, I just think, I wish I could have this finish over my whole face. But none of the actual skin finishing powders do that for me. And I don't know if it's just a shade issue. Maybe I'm being too heavy-handed. I don't know. Maybe I am incorrect and I don't actually want that finish over my whole face. I just think that I do. But I am obsessed with those blushes. They are just so beautiful. And every year it is now just a fight for me to not buy the Christmas palettes, even though I've bought them like 4 or 5 different times, and I think maybe one of them was right for me. And I believe that was the one that I dropped, and I've never forgiven myself. But yeah, that blush, the Hourglass Ambient Blush, oh, what a babe. What an absolute babe. Don't want to be without it. Couldn't be without it. It is my absolute staple. I could do it in the dark. I could do it with my eyes closed. I just know exactly how much I want, where I want it. And I'm just making noises. That's how much I love it. It's fantastic. The weirdest thing is that I don't really wear highlight anymore. I'm gonna let that settle. I can't remember the last time I actively put on like a highlighting powder in the sense of a sexy robot strobe. It was very of its time, wasn't it? I do see it coming back sometimes when I get really excited about it. And I'll sometimes do it to go out, or I'll sometimes do it if I'm doing an event. But my base is definitely leans more natural these days, or at least pretending to. So the one highlighting product I would say that I use a lot, there's two actually, because they're practically the same and just one is a lot more expensive. It's the Ciate Dewy Skin Stick and the Chanel Balm Essential. Very similar products, just a gorgeous creamy balm that brings light to the skin, tiniest hint of shimmer. It's not even really shimmer, it's just... It's sparkle, but without being chunks of glitter. It just sort of makes the skin glow. It catches the light. They're absolutely stunning. If you're putting them on over powders, powder blush particularly, I think you've got to be really careful to not dislodge the product underneath. In which case, I would say just tap it on really lightly with fingers. But man alive, is it beautiful. And they're both fantastic. Ciate, maybe it's a little bit of a stiffer formula than the Chanel. The Chanel, I feel like you can warm it up with your finger really easily into almost a liquid and tap it in, whereas the Ciate, it's a little bit more, not waxy, but just like a little bit of a more firm formula. But they're both gorgeous, and I love them both. Love them both. Moving on to eyes. I don't know why I'm finishing at lips, because it's entirely pointless, isn't it? Because you know exactly what I'm going to say. But moving on to eyes. Eyebrows, as I mentioned, Hourglass Micro Arch pencil in platinum. I keep trying new eye pencils. I keep trying new eyebrow pencils all the time. I ordered a bunch of them off YesStyle, thinking that I could get some Korean and maybe Japanese formulas that would be ashy. I even got some grey shades, trying to get that to work, because finding an ashy eyebrow pencil that is light enough for someone who is naturally blonde is so hard. I don't want any warmth in it. It can't be dark at all, because of my hair is bleached platinum blonde, but my eyebrows are naturally very, very, very light ashy blonde. They're not that pale blonde, they're ashy. They have got like a grayness to them. There is color in them, but it is so cool toned and completely ashy. That any warmth in there at all just looks orange and it looks ridiculous. And I keep trying and it is so hard. So I keep going back to the Hourglass pencil, never lets me down. And I think I might just have to accept that that's where I live now. That's where I live forever. Stop buying other pencils. It's just ridiculous. They don't help. Eye primers. I have been using the Urban Decay Primer Potion again a lot lately. Talk about a throwback. Urban Decay Primer Potion or Fenty Eyeshadow Primer. Can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with either of them. I saw someone on TikTok using the Urban Decay Primer Potion recently, and she'd never heard of it and it was brand new to her. And part of me was like, love this for you, hate this for me. I feel like a decrepit old hag. She was trying to explain what it was and she'd never heard of an eyeshadow primer, and she was a very successful or had a lot of followers beauty influencer, and I crawled into a corner and died. But it reminded me how much I love it, and I have been using it sort of all the time ever since. Foreshadows themselves, would you believe I'm using Nude Dip a lot? Like, I'm still all about my Nude Dip. You will pry that palette out of my cold dead hands. Like, I will fight to the death. That will be my gladiator moment. I'll be in the Colosseum, there'll be me, there'll be a lion, and then there'll be just a box of new dip palettes behind him, and I will take that lion out. I won't kill him, because I think we'll come to an understanding. I might slap him a little bit until he sits down. I'll give him like a bad dog newspaper on the nose, but then throw some dreamies across the Colosseum and he'll run after the dreamies because they're way more delicious than me. I would be stringy and disgusting. I'm full of Skittles and Roundtree's fruit gums. Who wants that? Mr. Lion doesn't want that. He can have a bag full of dreamies. And then I'll just get to the new dips and run away. But I don't know a better palette. Tell me a better palette. I've tried. I've got so many. There are a couple of new ones that I am going to talk about on the next episode that I have enjoyed. I have enjoyed, she said, as though it's a threat. But talking about stuff that I come back to over and over, it is new dip. It is new dip, my friends. What a banger. A classic, Hall of Fame. Just, you know, lock it up, put it away forever and ever. Pencils, eyeshadow pencils. Is there one? I mean, actually, again, Urban Decay throwback. I have been using the Urban Decay Perversion Pencil, the black all-nighter 24/7. They rebrand it all the time, but the 24/7 black pencil to tightline, and it's a banger. I'd forgotten. I hadn't tried it in such a long time. I feel like Urban Decay's quality on the whole, another brand that just brought out a new liquid blush for summer. I feel like the quality of their products has gone down. Sorry to say it, as someone who has loved Urban Decay for as long as she has loved makeup. Things haven't been the same since they sold to L'Oreal. The eyeshadow powders and the powder eyeshadows are not the same quality. I miss the concealer pencils more than I could ever tell you. And yeah, I think the quality of the 24/7 pencils weren't quite the same either, but they are still good. Are they as good as they used to be? I don't know. Are they as good as my dearly departed Marc Jacobs gel liners? Absolutely not. I mean, I can't talk about that. Maybe we'll do an episode of discontinued makeup that's broken our hearts, but the whole Marc Jacobs brand, devastated to have lost it. I've heard it's coming back. I've seen the teaser. It better be coming back at the same quality or I will just straight up throw a fit. I'll get that lion that I've tamed with a bag of dreamies and send it over to have a word. Now, mascara is an easy one because I try so many mascaras. I've been through so many mascaras. And without my beloved Marc Jacobs At Lashed, which I'm just eking out my last tube, and I haven't got any L'Oreal Lash Paradise because I haven't been in the UK for a minute. But I have found myself rebuying. I've rebought two different mascaras, friends. Three. But one of them I'm not really using anymore. But I've rebought two mascaras that I use all the time. And one is the Rare Beauty mascara, which I think is fantastic. It's fantastic. Really love it. And the other is the Jones Road. Now, I have not enjoyed Jones Road as a brand. I've been very vocal about this. I feel like I've been vindicated now. I feel like the general feeling towards Jones Road is like, what are they doing? There's nothing in this. But yeah, I love that mascara. I need to buy a new one for tour. And part of me really wants to find a new mascara to love because they don't do free shipping until you hit $85. And you can't buy it anywhere else. Locally to me, I can't get it. And the mascara, I think, is $24, which is a really, not really reasonable, but a relatively reasonable price for a mascara. But then to have to pay shipping on it and tax on it, it's going to be more than $30 for the mascara. And then I'm mad. And there isn't anything else I want from the brand to get up to the $85 is disgusting for free shipping. So while I'm saying it is one of the best mascaras I've ever used, can I in good conscience rebuy it again? That's my question for you. If you have other mascaras that you love that give really big, chunky, gorgeous, going out nighttime lashes that don't run, that I can use for tour, that's what I need it for, really. If you have any recommendations, do let me know, again, at Lindsay Kelk on Instagram and Twitter, because I want to know. Because I want to know. Moving on to lips. This will be real quick. This will be real quick. Pencils, Charlotte Tilbury Pillow Talk. Can't use the lipstick. Too brown for me. Looks like I have smeared my mouth in poo. I can't use anything with any brown in it. Nothing with any brown at all, as you all know. But the pencil, for some reason, the lip Pillow Talk pencil is a dream come true. And it's the only pencil that I really ever use, unless I'm doing a red lip and I'll use a red pencil. And when it comes to lips, can't stop, won't stop buying Dior Lip Glow. Now, I've loved it for so long. We've loved each other for so long. The original pink I've used forever and ever and a day. And I remember years ago on Full Coverage saying, I just wish they would bring out a clear one or bring out more shades in the formula, because it's the formula that I love more than the pH adjusting shade. I just love it. And they really heard that and ran with it, and now there are different colors coming out every 2 minutes, and I am constantly scrambling to justify spending $40 on a lip balm. I think I have most of them, But I really do wear them all the time. If I could only wear one lip product for the rest of my life, that's what it would be. I love the, is it raspberry I love? I love the blackberry, I want to say. The coral I've been wearing a lot lately. The cherry is really pretty for summer. It's a really sheer wash of red. There have been a bunch of really pretty pinks over the last couple of years. There was the Misty Ore pink, there's the rosewood. I just really love them, and I always end up going back to the original pink just for that brightening pop. It's just such a gorgeous bright pop on fair skin, and fair skinned blonde hair, blue eyes, it is the perfect pink pop, or at least it is for me. Everything is subjective, and it's my perfect lip, and I adore it, and I would not want to be without it. I don't want to live in a world where there is no dual lip glow. And I've tried all the knockoffs, I've tried all of the inspired buys, and I just haven't ever found anything with the same gorgeous balmy texture. Even Sally Hughes, who I did an event with, not last year, it was the Christmas before? Sweet Jesus, I think it was Christmas 2021 I last saw Sally, and we did an event together, and she was wearing the beige version, and Sally has been, you'll remember when she was on the podcast and we talked about it, and she is vehemently, virulently furious about pH shade shifting lip products, and she hated that pink more than life itself. And I saw her pull it out and sort of went, you have it now. And she was like, I have the beige. And I was like, oh, damn it. But obviously it looked incredible on her because the texture and the formula is just gorgeous. So we all agree it's amazing. And if I could only have one luxury product, I think that's what it would be. Even though the foundations I mentioned were very luxe here, there are definitely more bargainous foundations. Actually, one I didn't mention because I haven't been using it, but I did just order it because I saw it in store and they didn't have my shade, and it really made me say, hey, I want to try that again and compare it to the Lumina Silk, and that is the Wet n Wild Photo Focus, because that is a truly magnificent foundation. And we all went mad for it for a minute, and then it seems like we've forgotten. So can someone who is influential on TikTok remind people that the Wet n Wild the Wet n Wild Photo Focus Foundation is a banger, and we should all be using it because it's like less than £10. It's, I think I ordered it on Amazon, not proud. But I ordered it on Amazon and I put it on subscribe and save, which is like how I order my cat litter and other heavy things that I don't want to carry to my house myself, for I am a weak lady. Not true, I lift. But I haven't got the time to go and get these things. But I ordered it on subscribe and save, so I got a discount on it. And it ended up being something like $3.80, because I think it's only $6.99 in the shop. And it's always on sale in the shop. Like a drugstore, you never get anything in full price. Everything's always on a sale somewhere. I don't know how it's so inexpensive. I don't want to know how it's so inexpensive, but I'm excited to get it and try it again. But yeah, I could absolutely do that. Maybe that would be a fun episode for us to do too. I am making a lot of work for myself, but maybe we do a full drugstore face, best products from the drugstore, because high-end face is easy, isn't it? But a good drugstore face has notoriously been more difficult. I think it's getting easier every day with brands like Essence and Elf and NYX really upping their game. But let me know if that's something you'd be interested in, while you're letting me know if you would like a full Elf episode, and while you're letting me know which mascaras I should buy. But that's it. I'm going to wrap up. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. And this was just supposed to be a quick old chat, and I've been chatting to you already for more than an hour. So I've got to end with it. I feel terrible if I don't end with it, but I am going to sing the song, and I would ask you to sing it with me. If you're new here, apologies in advance for what you're about to hear. If you are not new here, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to ask you to join me. 1, 2, 3. Highlight of the week. Yes, it's highlight of the, yes. Where did that come from? It's time for highlight of the week. And I had to talk about this because I saw it all over the internet. I got the last tube in Target this week and I ran home, then left it in the bathroom for 2 days because I kept forgetting to put it on. But it is the Speak of the Devil, the Elf Sun Touchable Whoa Glow Broad Spectrum Sunscreen Sun Protection Makeup Primer. It's SPF 30. Everyone said, oh, it's an incredible dupe for, bloody dupes, dupe. It's an incredible dupe for the Supergoop Glow Screen. And I haven't tried that. I've always been touch and go with Supergoop. I think it's fantastic. I think a lot of what they do is fantastic. I think a lot of what they do is just sunscreen that you can buy much more affordably, and you don't need to spend that much money on sunscreen. You just need to go to Boots or Superdrug or Target or CVS and buy sunscreen and use it all the time. For your face, obviously, you have to be way more considerate. I have to wear a lot of sunscreen. I'm very pale. I have to wear at least a 30. This is a 30. And I need a lighter formula or I'll break out. But this is a allegedly makeup primer and sun protection with a glow in it that's Factor 30. I've used it the last 2 days. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. It absorbs straight away. It smells like sunscreen. Who doesn't love that? And it has got the most stunning glow, the most stunning glow. It is absolutely gorgeous and I'm truly obsessed. My only word of advice would be, I think to get the SPF 30 out of it, you would have to use more than I would be comfortable using. I think we would be beyond sexy robot. We would be like Bicentennial Man. The one robot in the world I just pulled out of my head. You would be full Edward Cullen. You would be total sparkly vampire if you used enough, I think, because people say, you know, the measurement now for a face is 2 full fingers. That would be a lot of this, and you would be extremely sparkly. So what I'm doing is using my regular sunscreen underneath and using this sort of as a belt and braces top up. So I'm more using it as a gorgeous glowy primer that just so happens to have a little bit of extra sunscreen in it that is delightful. If you are someone who feels like they don't need, we all need sunscreen. We all need it. I'm sorry, we do. But if you're someone who feels like you don't always need something as high as a 30, perhaps you could get away with just using this. You also barely need any makeup on top of it. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you were doing the beach, I would just do this. If I was just out for the day, I would just do this. If I was out for a day and I had stuff to do, I would do this and a little bit of concealer on top. It's just stunning. And it's very affordable because it's e.l.f. So if you see it, grab it. Do not hesitate. Just get your mitts on it. I'm going to read it all again. God, it's like an essay. The Sun Touchable Whoa Glow Broad Spectrum SPF 30 Sunscreen Sun Protection Makeup Primer by e.l.f. Skin. And yeah, big fan. Big fan. Can be used with or without makeup for a natural glow. That's good to know, isn't it? That's nice of them to let me know that. Can't miss it. Don't miss it. I absolutely love it. So that is it for this week. As I said, next week we're going to be talking about the new products that have found their way into my routine, which I think are winners that are going to stick around. Week after that, we're going to be talking about tour makeup because I'll be on my way to the UK for the book tour. And I said I would tell you a little bit of what I've been up to. And one of those things is my new book, Love Me Do, that is out on June 20th in the UK, September 5th, I think, in the US and Canada. Sorry, it's a little bit of a delay. I can't tell you why. There's no reason. It just is. But yeah, June 20th in the UK, and I am on tour, so you can come and see me. I'll be in Meadowhall, Sheffield on Sunday the 16th. Edinburgh with Paige Toon and Lucy Vine on Monday the 17th, Tuesday the 18th in Newcastle again with Paige and Lucy, Wednesday the 19th I'll be in York in Waterstones with Millie Johnson, Thursday the 20th pub day I'll be in Reading with, I can barely believe this, Jane Fallon and Adele Parks. That is going to be incredible. So if you can get to Reading on the 20th for pub day, that is going to be a fantastic event and I can't recommend it enough. Friday in London, Friday the 21st, not only is Oppenheimer out, not only is Barbie out, forget that, the thing to be at, the event of the decade, of the century, I am going to be in conversation with Elena Armas, author of Spanish Love Deception and The American Roommate Experiment and the upcoming The Long Game. She's an icon. She is the moment. And we're going to be in London talking on Friday, July 21st. So do try and check that out. We're working on a bigger venue to get tickets. So if it says it's sold out, keep an eye on it because there will be new tickets coming very soon if we're able to get a bigger venue. Keep an eye on my social media at Lindsay Kelt because I will confirm that when we know. Saturday, July 22nd, I'm signing in Milton Keynes in Waterstones. Sunday, July 23rd, I'm signing in Bluewater, Waterstones. Monday the 24th, I'm off. But I'm not really off. I've got meetings all day and I'm doing filming stuff. But but I'm not doing a tour event. Tuesday the 25th, I will be in Liverpool with Lucy Vine and Daisy Buchanan. And there are still tickets available for that one. So don't miss out. That's at Omi Omi, hosted by Waterstones. All of the information for these events is available at waterstones.com, or you can go to my social media at Lindsay Kelk and all of the information is there. But please, please, please come along. I would love to see you. I would love to chat beauty with you. I get a lot of messages from people saying, oh, I don't want to come on my own. And it's like, I get that. I totally get that. But it's such a safe space. No one will make you do anything you don't want to do. No one will make you join in. That's my greatest fear of going anywhere on my own, is that I'm going to be made to put my hand up and say where I'm from or talk to people, and I don't want to, because I am an anxious person. I am a nervous Nelly. I just want to be left alone. So you can totally just come, sit down, watch the event and leave. You don't even have to stay and get your book signed if you don't want to, or you can just come and get your book signed and I will sign it and smile and we'll have a lovely little, hiya, how are you? And there's no pressure. Everything is lovely and friendly. I met a lot of people who have made friends at these events and now are friends, which I bloody love. People who come to the events together every year. Sometimes people arrange meetups before the events at local bars, so you can go and sort of meet people beforehand if that's something you're into. It's all amazing and it's all happy and everyone's welcome, whether you're here to talk about wrestling, because I talk about wrestling. If you want to talk about makeup, talk about makeup. Talk about books, talk about books. Talk about cats, talk about cats. Talk about Yellow Jackets, which is the show my husband edits. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about anything you want to. But I'm really, really, really looking forward to it and I can't wait to come and see you. And yeah, good excuse for me to bust out some makeup, isn't it? Get the new dip out. Get the old new dip out. Make it worth its while. Anyway, I'm rambling. I'm going to go. I'll speak to you really, really soon. And until then, thanks so much, friends. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.